Take your Bibles and go to Psalms 23. The 23rd Psalm is where we're going to go this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, flip over to Psalms 23. Many of you could quote Psalms 23. You say, "Preacher, I wouldn't even have to open my Bible. I think I could say it as you read it." But I want to point some things out to you, so go ahead and find it in your Bible there, Psalms 23. And then as I read it out loud, if you'd like to quote it along with me, that would be a wonderful thing. I think a lot of our young people, even our bus kids, have learned this in Sunday school. So kids, you help me out. Psalms 23 and verse number 1. I'm going to preach a message this morning entitled, "It Sure Is Good to Have a Shepherd." It sure is good to have a shepherd. Psalms 23, verse number 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you would use the Bible, dear God, to help us, Lord, comfort those who need comfort, challenge those who need challenge, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that by the time we get done preaching, you will have done a work in each and every one of our hearts according to your perfect will. Thank you for Psalms 23. Thank you for the comfort that we've received through the years as we have heard this read. And Lord, as we're reminded this morning, thank you, dear God, so much for being our shepherd. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to direct your attention now to Psalms 23, and I want you to notice the opening verse there. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, I want to remind you who God used to write Psalms chapter 23. Now, he could have picked anybody, and you know what? Because it was God's word being given to man, it would have been written exactly the same. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." But you know what? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter that when God selected men to write the Bible, he used holy men of old. Now that means that he looked all over the earth and he made sure that in every generation, when part of the word of God was going to be given to man to write down, that the man he would choose would be a holy man. And so he chose David, who may have been the best Christian of that day. And David is the one who God used to write the 23rd Psalm. Now I'm going to say this. David was overly qualified and specifically qualified to write a psalm that has to do with being a shepherd. You say, "Preacher, why?" Well, those of you that know your Bible, you know the answer. You know what? David, as a young man, was a shepherd. He knew what it was to be a shepherd. The very first mention of David in 1 Samuel is in chapter number 16. And the prophet Samuel was told to go to the house of Jesse, and that God was going to provide from among Jesse's sons a new king for Israel. Now, he wasn't told which son. He just said, "From among Jesse's sons, I will provide me a king." And so when Samuel showed up, he asked Jesse, "Let me see your boys. God's going to tell me which one it is." And Eliab was the first one. He was the oldest, so he was ushered forward. And Samuel even thought, "You know what? This is probably the man." But God said, "Nope, that's not the one. I've considered him. I've rejected him. He's not the one." And then Abinadab was the second one that was presented, and a striking young man. But you know, the Lord said, "Nope, that's not the one." And then it was Shammah after that. And God said, "That's not the one." And I think at this point, Samuel's kind of wondering, "Lord, are you sure he's here? Do you have more sons?" "Boy, I've got several more." So four more boys are ushered into the room. And one at a time, they go, seven boys in all are ushered into the room. And you know what? God says no seven times. No, 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 no. And then all of a sudden, Samuel's confused. "Maybe I didn't hear the Lord right."
And he looks over at Jesse and he said, "Are you sure are these all your sons?" He said, "Well, I've got a younger one, the youngest boy, and he's up there watching the sheep." He said, "You know what? You go send somebody to get him right now. I'm not even going to sit down because I've been sent here by God and there's something I need to do. And go get that boy." And here comes young David. And you know what the Bible says where they got him? It said, he says unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest." And behold, here we are. First introduction to David. "And behold, he keepeth the sheep." He keepeth the sheep. What are you saying, preacher? David knew what it was to be a shepherd. In chapter 17, which is the most famous chapter, and it contains the most famous story about David, and of course, that's the story of David and Goliath. Do you realize in that one chapter, four different times it mentions David, the fact that he was a shepherd? He went in the beginning of the chapter, he had been for a while the young man that was called to play music for King Saul. And after he had done that for a while, the Bible says in David, in chapter 17, verse 15, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." Down in verse number 20, when Jesse calls David and says, "Hey, I want you to run a package to your brothers," the Bible says in that verse that he left the sheep with a keeper. And then we get down in verse number 28 and 29. Remember, David showed up and he started talking and he started asking questions like, "Is there not a cause? And why are we letting this happen?" And Eliab, his oldest brother, he said, "I know what's in your heart." He says, "And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and naughtiness of thine heart." And then one more time when David's brought before King Saul, David mentions in that interview when he comes in, I love David, he's just a teenage boy at this time, but he says this, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," talking about Goliath, "thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Now notice David's answer. David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Listen, folks, he's about to go fight a giant, and he's about to become the most famous man in Israel. But four different times in that chapter, before he goes down in that valley, the Bible reminds us that he was a shepherd. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, that David, he was a wise choice to write Psalms 23. When David wrote about the Lord being his shepherd, he knew what he was talking about. You see, David's hand had held the shepherd's staff. David's feet had walked the green pastures high in the hills above Bethlehem. David's voice had sung to the sheep in the midst of the storm. His body had lay across the sheepfold entrance as a human door to keep the sheep in and the predators out. David's ears were tuned to the bleating of each sheep. He recognized and knew every single one, could interpret the nuance of the sounds they made, could call everyone by name. His rod was held ready to defend them. His sling and stones were ever present and extremely well practiced, always ready, always on alert to chase away an enemy. David's strong arms had tore the bear that threatened his flock. His strong hands had fought the lion that would try to snatch the lambs. His eyes watched over each sheep, seeing their needs and evaluating the dangers around them. While the sheep slept, it was David as a shepherd that stood guard. While they drank at the still waters, it was David the shepherd who was ever watchful. While they lay down in green pastures, can you see David as he circles the perimeter of the herd? And he carries his staff and he herds them towards safe paths and pulls them from the cliff's edge. Suffice to say that when David penned the shepherd's psalm, he knew what he was talking about. David knew what it was to watch the sheep. He knew what it was to lead the sheep. He knew what it was to provide for his sheep. He knew what it was to defend his sheep. And so when we go to Psalms 23, not only can we be assured that these are the very words of God, but that God chose a shepherd to write them. So what did this one-time shepherd of the flock, who's now the full-time king of a nation, what did he have to say about being a shepherd and having a shepherd? And again, I want to preach on this subject this morning. It sure is good to have a shepherd. It sure is good to have a shepherd. Number one, I want to bring this point to light. What did David say? He said, "It's good to have the Lord as my shepherd." Verse number one. David wrote this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, having been a shepherd, he could value a shepherd. You know, even though he was a shepherd over sheep, he was more than happy to be a sheep underneath a shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having Jesus as your shepherd is a personal choice. If you look in Psalms 23 and verse number 1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This is a personal decision, a personal choice that David made. And every single one of us have to make the choice. Do we want Jesus Christ to be our Savior first and our shepherd second? Or do we want to try to traverse this thing called life by ourselves? And every single person has to make that choice. You know what? God gave us three daughters, but I couldn't choose for them whether or not they were going to allow God to be their shepherd. Every one of them had to choose. Sir, you can't choose for your wife, and ma'am, you can't choose for your husband. Every single one of us have to decide to make a choice. Are we gonna let the Lord be our shepherd? I brought a couple of pictures with me that I keep in my office, and these two particular pictures, I haven't had that long, and I didn't even know they existed, to be honest with you. I've often told people about the Rock Run Baptist Church up north of Brazil, Indiana. And my mom was going through pictures the other day, and the Rock Run Baptist Church was the church where I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And many times I try to remember, you know, from a little child's memory, what the auditorium looked like, what the pulpit looked like. I can always remember that behind the pulpit there was a big mural, a big picture that I think somebody had either painted on there, or maybe it was some kind of a wallpaper, I'm not sure. But I remember as a little boy looking at every nuance of that picture. You know, sometimes as a kid, you're not paying as much attention to the preaching as you probably ought to. And I remember looking at that picture. And my mom showed up, and she had a 3x5 picture that she'd made of the auditorium of the Rock Run Baptist Church up in Diamond, Indiana. And I can't tell you how precious this thing has come to me. I put it in a frame. I put it in my office. And you know what? I can point. Listen, I'm showing you this for a reason. I know you can't see this, but one of these days when we all get back in here, if you want to see it, ask me. But I can put my finger right there. As you're looking at the pulpit, on the left-hand side of the pulpit, where the altar is, I can put my finger, and I'm probably within a foot of where I knelt as a little boy and received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and decided that I wanted to live my life having a shepherd. And you know what? I can't make that decision for you, and you can't make that decision for me. And by the way, she brought me this picture too. And this is a picture of Pastor Elmer Evans and his wife, and they were the pastor of the Rock Run Baptist Church. And here's a picture of them before he passed away, and of course, she's up in heaven now too. But I was so pleased to have those pictures. Now, what are you showing these to us for, preacher? Hey, can you go back to a place? Can you go back to a time? You may not know the exact date. You may not know exactly what the clock said when you cried out and prayed to be saved. But can you go back to a place and a time in your mind where the Holy Spirit brought you under conviction? And where you understood the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you understood there was a penalty on sin. And you understood how much Jesus loved you, that he died and was buried and rose again. He did it for you, did it for your sins. Do you remember Holy Spirit conviction? Do you remember the drawing of the Father? The Bible says that you know what? Jesus said, "No man cometh unto me unless the Father draw him unto me." And you know what, folks? I can still remember that day. There was this urgency to go forward, this urgency to get saved. Now I know that it was the Father in heaven drawing me to himself. The Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin. Jesus having died to provide salvation. Now listen, every single one of us have to decide to make that choice. David was able to say, "It is the Lord is my shepherd." You know why? He made a personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior and to allow God to be his shepherd. If you're here without Jesus Christ, if you're listening somewhere without Christ, I urge you to make that decision. If God's convicting you, if God's working in your heart, don't put off salvation. Number two, he said this. Number one, it is good to have the Lord as my shepherd. Number two, it's good to have a shepherd when things are going well. Let's start there. We're going to get down into the psalm where things aren't going so well. But let me just say this. It's good to have a shepherd even when things are going well. It says in verse number 2 and 3, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Hey, they haven't gotten into that valley of the shadow of death yet. There's no mention of high winds and storms and rain and lightning and choppy waters. These are the good times. These are the good times. Now, can I say this? It's just as important to have a shepherd during the good times as it is during those dark times in your life. Too many people, I'm just going to say this. You know what? The only time that they ever want to talk to God or ever want to come to church or ever want God to have a part in their life is when they're in those valleys of desperation, and then they want to run to God. Folks, listen to me. I want to say this to you. Too many people use God as a spare tire. Listen, don't use God as a spare tire that you just pull out of the trunk when you have a flat and you need some help. I got a place. I think there's a better place for him. Why don't you make him the steering wheel of your life instead of that spare tire that's in the trunk? I want to say this. It's good to have God as my shepherd on a good day. The Bible says my shepherd sometimes makes me lie down. I kind of like that. I always like that little phrase. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, if you're not wired the same way as Jerry Ross is, you probably don't view that verse quite the same way. But you know what? Sometimes God has to make me lie down. I'm kind of one of these guys that want to be doing something, want to go, and I run to this project, run to that project. And you know, folks, if we're not careful, life just kind of takes over. And next thing you know, God's just kind of watching this crazy sheep of his, and he's running past the shepherd, running past the shepherd, running past the shepherd, chasing this and chasing that. And sometimes you know what the shepherd does? You run by, and he takes that staff and just kind of hooks you, and he kind of pulls you over, and he kind of pushes down on you. And you know what? You don't really want to lie down. But he wants to spend some time with you. Can I say this? I think there's, a lot of challenges with what we're facing right now in America. But there's some blessings too. I'm not sure that God, our good shepherd, just has kind of taken the hook and said, "All right, Americans, you're running around like a bunch of chickens with your heads chopped off. You know what? You're running around in all kinds of directions and all kinds of circles, and you're busy with everything, but you never take time to just sit down with the shepherd for a while." Maybe God's just kind of put the brakes on in our life a little bit. Come on now. "Oh, preacher, I'm so frustrated at this stay-at-home thing. Maybe it's the best thing for us right now for a while. Maybe God's literally saying, it's time to lie down in some green pastures. I say, "Preacher, but we're not in green pastures. We're in a valley." Anybody starving? I mean, think about this, folks. Here's the great challenge. This is what we have to do to save the human race. Stay home and do nothing. Wow, that's a sacrifice, isn't it? I mean, that's a sacrifice. Previous generations will be proud of us because we helped our country by sitting on the couch for 2 weeks. Now, come on now. You know, the honest truth is God sometimes just says, maybe he's saying to some of us dads, "Come on, you know what? You're so busy. What about time for the kids? Come on, you're so busy, sir. What about time for the wife?" And wives, we're going 100 miles an hour. Ladies, wait a minute. God's just saying, hey, maybe it's time to will the circle be unbroken? Maybe it's time to get in the same room. Maybe it's time to read the Bible together. Maybe it's time just to talk a little bit. Maybe it's time for all of us to spend a little bit more time with the Lord. My shepherd sometimes makes me, I'm talking about the good times. My shepherd always leads me, but sometimes he leads me beside still waters. And these, again, are the good times. And you know what? Every one of us, if we're not careful, we spend so much time talking about the handful of hard times we've had in our life, we forget how many wonderful days God has provided for us and wonderful experiences. And folks, you know what? We've got more to be thankful for than we have to gripe about. And he said this, it's good to have a shepherd when things are going well. my shepherd uses the good times to restore my soul. And you know, folks, sometimes this can be, I mean this, this can be a bad time in your life, or this could be a reset button time in your life. You know, the Bible says that my shepherd uses the good times to restore, he restoreth my soul. What does that mean? Well, I looked it up, and the word restore there means to set back to the beginning, to set back to a new, to an old norm. I guess the way I was thinking about it is, we've got a copy machine in the office area. And honestly, I had to let my wife copy everything. I probably shouldn't even get near that machine. Because if it's more complicated than just making one copy and pushing a button, and you have to try to figure out all the other things, I'll push a button and I'll guess on this, and then some light will come on, then I'll push this button to try to get it off, and some other light comes on, and then next thing you know, I got two papers becoming one and one paper becoming two, and then I've got this changed and that changed, and you know, I'm just hitting buttons trying to figure it out, and the more buttons I'm hitting, the worse it's getting. And pretty soon a red light starts flashing and the thing won't work, and you know what I found on that machine that has saved me so many times? There's a button there, folks, that says restore. Isn't that a blessing? It's a button that says restore. And what you do, if you hit that button, it takes all of the mess that you've made and it makes it go away and it takes it back to a new starting point. Come on now. Come on. He restoreth my soul. Now, I think sometimes God slows us down like he's done right now just to hit a reset button in our life. And a chance for us to really start looking around and saying, okay, wait a minute, now that life's kind of come to a screeching halt, whether I wanted it to or not, maybe it's time for me to evaluate my priorities. Maybe some of the buttons I've been pushing in my life has really caused more confusion and problems than good. Maybe it's time for God to just restore my soul back to the things that are truly important in life. And so, folks, listen to me. For some people, I know this is a troubling time, but I think for Christians, this could be a time of true personal revival if we will let it be that in our lives. My shepherd only leads me in the paths of righteousness. He does this for the Bible says, his namesake or his reputation. You know, folks, when we walk in the paths of righteousness and follow our shepherd, then we are helping to establish a good reputation for him. We bring honor to his name. When we refuse to follow our shepherd and we lead the paths of righteousness. And I want to remind you of this. Jesus Christ will only lead you on the paths of righteousness. Now, if you go down some path of unrighteousness, don't you come. Listen, you go fool somebody else, you want to go fool somebody else. But you're not fooling this preacher. Don't you pull that stuff. Well, I'm just following God's will for my life. Don't you damage God's reputation by blaming him if you decide you're going to go down some path of unrighteousness, because my shepherd and your shepherd has never led you on any path but the path of righteousness. Now, that doesn't mean we've always tread and trod those paths. Sometimes we've gotten on the wrong path, but it wasn't his fault, and he sure didn't lead us there, and he shouldn't get the blame for it. How about that? Now, listen, it's good to have a shepherd, but you've got to choose. You've got to choose. Do you want God as your shepherd? And by the way, it's good to have a shepherd when things are going well. But let's get down to the last part of this. You know what? Can I say this? It's awfully good to have a shepherd when things are going bad. And you get down to verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Wait a minute. How did I get here? What happened to those green pastures? What happened to those still waters? What about that time of personal revival where God was just hitting reset buttons in my life? Where'd the paths of righteousness go? Father, it's dark now. Father, I don't understand. We've left the hills. We're in the valleys. It's getting dark. It's getting dense. What are those noises? What is that I'm hearing? I sense, Lord, evil in this place. You know what, folks? There's a lot of evil in this world. You know what? Sometimes God's going to walk us through those valleys. Sometimes even the valley of the shadow of death. You know what? I feel like in a way our nation's walking through that valley this morning. I mean, folks, I get an alert 2 or 3 or 4 times on my phone every single day because I have gone on our state website. And you know what? They update me at least 2, sometimes 3 or 4 times a day. And you know what? That when I hit that alert button and I pull up the report, It's got a map of Indiana, and it's got the number of cases that are growing. And you know what? I can see how many cases have been diagnosed of this virus. I can hit a separate button, and you know what it'll show? It'll show how many a number in every single county of Indiana of how many people have died. You know, people are fearful right now. Come on, they're fearful right now. You know, as a nation, we're walking through that valley of the shadow of death. Can I ask you this? Are you walking through it with a shepherd? Or are you walking through it on your own? If there's ever a time in America where people need to wake up and realize how much they need God, it's right now. Because listen, I'm walking in the same valley you are, but you know what? I'm walking behind my shepherd. And you know what? The Bible goes on to say, isn't this awesome? It says that though I walk through the, by the way, I want to stop and hit that one word. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And Mrs. Fulkerson used to always say, this too will pass. Hang in there, church, hang in there. You know what? If you'll follow the shepherd, he'll get you through the valley of the shadow of death. And so, but he said this, even though I've got to take this, this is part of God's will. This is part of what God is allowing. But you know what he can say, we can say as Christians, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now listen, folks, it sure is good to have a shepherd. It was good the day I chose him as my shepherd. It's good to have a shepherd during the good times of life. But can I want to say this? Boy, it sure is good to have a shepherd when things aren't going so well. You see, folks, my shepherd is still leading me. He's leading me the same right now today as he was a month ago, 2 months ago, 5 months ago, 6 months ago. And I don't know what the future holds, but I know this. I'm staying right behind my shepherd. Because you know what? As long as I stay with him, I will fear no evil. He walks me through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. You know why? My shepherd is with me. He's with me. I've got some promises in the Bible about that. Let your conversation, Hebrews 13, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, you can go through the darkest valley in your life, and as long as you have that shepherd and you stick with that shepherd, folks, you'll get through that valley. It's sure nice that if I have to walk through a dangerous situation, it's sure nice to have God with me. When I thought about this, I thought back to my Bible college days, and when I was working in inner city Chicago on weekends, we would do inner city ministries in inner city Chicago, and we ministered in some pretty rough neighborhoods. I had one bus route in particular. It was just a really rough bus route. It had several places in it that were dangerous. There was a lot of gang activity and a lot of drugs and a lot of shootings and a lot of murders. I mean, there was a stretch. There were 6 weekends in a row I showed up on my bus route and walked to a spot on my bus route where somebody had laid and bled out and died. 6 weekends in a row. On a little 4-block by 6-block area, I stood where that had happened. So, folks, sometimes it was a dangerous situation. But you know what? I had to reach him for the Lord. There was one particular apartment complex that was extremely dangerous. And I went over there, and you know what? I tried to knock on doors, and there was a lot of gang activity and a lot of punks that hung out there. And sometimes they wouldn't say a word to you, and sometimes they'd decide that, you know, they want to harass you or give you a hard time or try to run you off. And I kept going back in there trying to minister for the Lord, but I didn't always, I'll be honest with you, I didn't always feel that comfortable there. There was a guy by the name of Big Joe, and I love Big Joe. I went, first time I seen him, I met his mother first and got to lead her to the Lord. And when his mama got saved, And the joy of the Lord came into her life. She began to pray for Big Joe. And I'd go and see his mom, and he'd come walking in, and he'd look at me like, what are you doing in my house? And he was a big guy and heavily involved in the gangs. And old Big Joe would come in, and finally he got to the point where he'd sit down at the table and start talking to me. And I'd tell him, Joe, listen, I know that you've got a lot of things going on, and I know that your life's being controlled by the devil. I said, there's no reason in the world you should lie to yourself about that, but God loves you. God wants to save you. And his mama would sit there and grab his hand and weep and pray for her boy and cry. finally, there came a Saturday. Old Big Joe, he bowed his head. He was a very simple kind of a kid. I mean, he wasn't mentally retarded. He just never had gone to school much, and he really kind of a very much kind of a simple kid, big, giant, strong, but just kind of it simple in mind. And boy, when he prayed and got saved, it was like listening to a little seven-year-old boy pray and receive Jesus. It was the sweetest thing. And after Big Joe got saved, you know what? He'd tell me, he'd come up behind me. He loved doing this when I was on the bus route. I'd be walking down the street, minding my own business. And Joe, he's a big guy, but man alive, he could sneak up on you. I mean, you know how you usually hear somebody coming behind you, you know? And he'd love to come up behind me, and I'd have my hands like this, and he'd pin my arms to my side, and he'd pick me up, and he'd squeeze me so hard that literally, I thought a few times, he is going to break every rib in my body. I mean, that's how Joe, and it'd finally get to the point where I'm just about to pass out, and he'd put me down. How you doing, preacher? You know? And I went to see Joe one, or he was following me around, and I'd buy him lunch sometimes. We'd hang out a little bit together. And he said, how's it going? And I said, oh, pretty good. And he said, anybody giving you problems? And I said, Joe, I can't get over in this one apartment complex. Half the time I'm over there, they're throwing bottles or they're threatening. And his whole demeanor changed. His whole demeanor changed. He said, are you kidding me? He said, we're going right now. And I said, no, we're going right now. And buddy, I went walking in that apartment complex, and all of a sudden I got Big Joe with me, man. And all these punks went peeking around the corner, and they seen me, and all of a sudden here they see Big Joe walking right beside me. And he's looking to the left, and he's looking to the right. And buddy, all these guys just melt off into the distance, man. And you know what? We ended up pulling so many kids out of that apartment complex. You know why? Because I had Big Joe on my side. And there wasn't nobody messing with Jerry Ross when Big Joe was with me. He became my regular soul winning partner every Saturday, at least while we were in that apartment complex. And folks, listen to me. I want you to listen. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, if you don't have God as your Father, and you're walking through this life, I'm sorry, I don't care how tough you think you are. And you may laugh at religion, laugh at this Bible, laugh at God, and tell us that we all are just using the Bible and religion as a crutch. Say everything you want to say. But the honest truth is, the devil's making a fool out of you. And you know what? He's taking things from your life, and you don't have any peace in your heart, and you're doing the dumbest thing a person can do, and that's trying to live this life in your own strength and your own power, because you may be a tough guy, but you're no match for the devil. And if you'd be honest, you'd look around at your life and realize that he's whipping you out about every single day. And you know what? You ought to get God on your side. You know, I like this, man. I mean, you know what? Valley of the Shadow of Death. I'm thinking about preaching tonight. I don't know for sure, but I'm thinking about preaching tonight a message entitled, You Can't Scare Me with Death. You can't scare me with death. You can't scare me with heaven. You know, I think sometimes folks that the world don't understand us Christians. I mean, they're all flipping out. And I mean, there's people, good night. They've built this thing up into something that God never intended to be, and it sure isn't. But they are so controlled by fear. And I want to just say this with you. If you'd let God be your shepherd, I don't care what valley that you have to walk through, you'd be like me and Big Joe walking through that apartment complex, only better, because God has your back. Now, what I want to say is this. Listen, look what it says. He says this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then he goes on to say this, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love that. You know, it's kind of like this. Can you imagine me and Big Joe walking in there, and there's 20, 30, 40 gangsters, and they're all standing around there, and Joe walks right in the middle of the courtyard and gets a table out and sets it up and puts I can't picture Joe doing this, but gets a tablecloth, puts it on there, and he gets a portable grill out, and he opens a cooler. And all these gangsters, and they all hate my guts. And they don't like that I'm there. And old Joe says, don't worry about them. We're going to have us a picnic right here. And you know what? That's what God does. You know what, folks? There's the forces of evil all around us. There's devils and demons all around us that hate God and hate the church and hate the King James Holy Bible. But you know what we do as Christians? We don't worry about all that, because God says right in the middle of the biggest thing you ever face in your life, He said, we'll just have a little picnic, and you know what? You don't have to worry about anything, because I got you. I got you. And then this last phrase, and we're done. Watch this. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that. David said, my cup runs over. Oh, I used to have enough. I get thinking about the bus ministry days and the Chicago days, and there's so many stories, but there was this little kid that rode my bus for a little while by the name of Lewis, and he was such a poor kid. And every once in a while, I'd take him to the grocery store. He loved soda pop. He loved Coca-Cola. And his family couldn't afford something like that. So every once in a while, I'd say, Lewis, yeah, you going to come to church tomorrow? I don't know. How about if I buy you a Coke? Well, I'll come tomorrow then if you buy me a Coke. Let's go. I thought that was pretty cheap to get a kid on the bus, you know. And this one Saturday, he got it, and he usually opened it up, drank it pretty fast, you know, but he was carrying it. He said, I want to show you something. Some kid at school taught me. I said, what? He started shaking the bottle of Coke. He's shaking the bottle of Coke, and I said, what are you doing? He said, no, I know what you're wearing. I said, you open that, it's going to go everywhere. And he said, no, this guy showed me a trick. So he's shaking it, and he finally got done. And then he turned it upside down, and I don't know how this kid got this to work, but you know, he tapped the bottom, kept tapping the bottom for about like 10 or 15 seconds, and he turned it over, and he said, watch this. And I don't know whether he thought that was going to take care of the whole situation. I don't know who told him that this would work, but he sat there and turned it. I mean, he shook the thing, turned it upside down, tapped it for about 10 seconds, flipped it over, looked at me, pulled the top off like that, and fizz went. That thing went everywhere. Well, Lewis was poor. And he didn't only get a Coke every once in a while, only when Brother Jerry bought him one. And man, he put his mouth on that. He was not going to let any of that fizz go. And you know, that doesn't work, folks. If you've ever tried that, that does not work. And he's trying to hold all the fizz and all of that in, and all the gas is coming out of it. And finally he pulls away and it spurts all over his face. He tries to put his mouth on it again. He's trying to suck it down all he can. And I'll never forget this, because when he got all done, he was just drenched in Coke. I'm laughing my head off. I'm like, what did you do? What did he say? Finally, he just looked at me and he's like, Brother Jerry, I couldn't drink all the fizz. I just couldn't drink all the fizz. And I got to thinking about this story when the Bible says, my cup runneth over. Folks, listen to me. It's so good to be a Christian. Can I say this? I can't even drink all the fizz. I mean, there's so many blessings in life. And you know what? You just try to get what you can, but some of us just spills over, and it's supposed to. Watch this. It's supposed to. Because all the blessings in my life isn't for me. It's supposed to spill over on those around me. Now, hopefully not like Coke, but that's the illustration. I couldn't drink all the fizz. My shepherd won't forsake me when it's time to pass on to the other side. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. While I'm here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he said this, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what that is? That's the voice of a confident Christian. That's a voice of somebody that's not doubting their salvation. That's the voice of someone that can look back at that time and place when they not only made the Lord their shepherd, but they made the Lord their Savior. And I want to just encourage you, if you're listening to this broadcast or you're watching on our YouTube channel and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I just want to tell you, there's no better decision that you can make. Well, preacher, I don't want to do it just to get through the bad times. Oh, he's not just for the bad times. He's for the good times. He's for the all times. I'm going to tell you something. The happiest, best decision I ever made was when I received Jesus as my Savior. I want to challenge you. If you don't know Christ, you accept him today. He loves you. How about this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please take the continuation of this message, Lord, as it works in the heart of those that are listening. If there's that one that's never received you as personal Savior, I pray that they would be saved today. Oh God, please. Convict them of their sin. I remember that convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Father, draw them to you. I remember how you drew me. Jesus, thank you for loving them and paying the ultimate price. Help them to know that all three members of the Trinity right now are focused on them and want them to be saved. I pray, Lord, that that person that may not know Christ as their Savior, may they realize that they're a sinner. May they realize if they don't get saved, hell awaits. May they realize how much God loved them to send his Son and that Jesus died for their sins. They don't have to pay the price for their sins. It's already been paid for. I pray, Lord, that they would just put their heart and their faith and their trust in you and your finished work on Calvary. If you're here and you're listening and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, preacher, I feel the conviction of God. I know I'm lost. I know I'm, if I died right now, I fear what would happen. I fear what would await me. But I know God's working on my heart. Preacher, how do I receive Jesus? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In your heart, do you truly believe and see yourself as that sinner, lost and undone without Christ? Do you realize that God loved you so much that he sent his Son? Do you understand that Jesus paid for your sins, was buried and rose again? He holds out to you the gift of eternal life. He wants to save you. Would you pray? Would you call out? Would you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Would you say, God, I'm that sinner that you died for? Would you say, Jesus, I trust you and you alone for my salvation. Forgive me and make me one of your children. I do now receive Christ as my Savior. Would you pray that? Would you call out to Christ? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you prayed that, add this: thank you, Lord, for saving me. Because he did. He keeps his word. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Savior. Thank you also for being our shepherd. And Lord, there's a lot of people, dear God, that are confused and anxious and fearful. And Lord, I do understand that these are troubling times, but for the Christians, it's a different kind of life. Lord, are we concerned? Yes. Are we praying? Yes. Are we taking some extra measures of caution and concern? Of course. But Lord, it's sure nice to get up every morning and just be able to say, okay, shepherd, lead me. And Lord, to know that we can stick with you. And Lord, whether it's here on this earth or whether it's time for us to go, it doesn't matter because, Lord, you're going to be with us while we're here and we're going to live with you forever when we're not. And it's sure a wonderful thing to have the assurance of our salvation. Lord, help that Christian that's been struggling a little bit. Lord, maybe they've been possessed by a spirit of fear. May they understand that, Lord, as dear children, we can get up every day and just follow our Savior. Lord, bless our time of invitation. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name.